when he comes in.
Okay.
His father had a pacemaker. Oh.
But he
still came to the shiur.
We left off in the middle of a very complicated Gemara that's going to continue for quite a few dafim, all about Tumah V'Tahara. We're not going to learn all the Tumah V'Tahara. We're interested in learning Hilchos Shechita. So we're going to just to review again what we learned briefly and to finish the part that we're going to finish. Let's go back again to the Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Mishnah has a funny case, a person shechts behemah chai v'yayif, and no dam comes out. That's physically impossible. It's never going to happen in a million years. But the Mishnah writes, abstract, in case it ever happens, that it didn't, is that it's kosher. What's the chiddush ma'akam mashmalon? So we had different explanations. So the Rambam said, poshe pshat is, he might have thought the animal is dead if the blood is not circulating. If the blood is circulating, that keeps the animal alive. If no blood gushes out, means that the blood wasn't circulating. It means the animal was dead before he started the shechita. So that's no good. So that's the Mishnah says, but the animal looked like it was alive. So you don't have to be concerned about the possibility maybe the blood stopped circulating before he started the shechita. It's kosher, you don't have to be afraid that it's dead. Gaonim said, pshat, kamashmon, nechidish, and the Mishnah is that there's a mitzvah of kisi adam when you shecht chai v'yof. When you shecht the behemoth, there's no kisi adam. When you shecht chai v'yof, there's a mitzvah to do kisi adam, to put offer malmaila v'offer milmata. Sawdust, usually today they use sawdust on the bottom, sawdust on the top. So the Mishnah says that kisi adam, even though the Gemara is going to say later, per kisi adam is the Gemara of the Shechita, but it's not miyake b'riyev. So even though no dam came out and he couldn't do kisi adam, it's not miyake. So that's the question. So why does it say behema? Behema doesn't have any kisi adam. Okay. So the Mishnah says it's kosher. Then it says when the Tanakama has a machlekes with Reb Shimon, machlekes in the Mishnah. Tanakama says the din is that there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Other mekayla machlem lamashkim. So oichlem is only mekabel tumah if it was rinsed off with one of the seven liquids, one of the zay mashkim water. Or one of the other mashkin. So let's say you have an apple. You have a big apple. So if you rinsed it off, you don't have to rinse the whole thing off around and around. If you rinse part of it off with water, even though the tummy touches the other side, which was never rinsed off, and even though the water was dried off before the tummy touches it, that's the halacha, as long as part of the oichel was rinsed off. So one of the zayin mashkin is dam, shanashama yotzebo. So Tan Kama says, if you shecht an animal and the blood gushes out from the neck, we're going to discuss whether the flesh of the animal is makabel tum. Flesh is michael adam. Michael behemah is not makabel tum, only michael adam. So the flesh is michael adam. If it's a kosher shechita, so it's mutalisa. If it's nevela trefa, so it's a goy can eat it. It's still michael adam. So whatever is michael adam is makabel tum, provided that you rinsed it off. So if one of the zayin mashkim is dam, so if dam came out b'shas shechita, that's machsha lekabel tumah, not only the basar by the neck where the incision is, where you shecht it, the basar, the whole flesh, it's all one piece of flesh and it's all hukshe lekabel tumah. But if dam didn't come out, then the flesh was never hukshe lekabel tumah. So even if Adam tummy touches it, so the Mishnah has a funny lotion, the person has yadayim tumeyos. Tumas hayadayim is only midirabbanan. When a third, there is no such thing, the yadayim atame and the rest of the body is tohar. Either the person is tummy or the person is tohar. So the Mishnah has, if he has yadai misu'avis means tamidike hands, which is only midirabbanan. So if the tamidike hands touch the flesh was never hukshel kabel tumah because no dam came out. This abstract case that never comes up in a million years, no dam came out when the shech did. So then the fact that the tumas hayadayim touched it doesn't pose a problem, and people are allowed to eat the flesh lefi. If dam would have come out b'shas shechita, it would have been hukshe b'dam. Then if a person with tumas hayadayim would have touched it, it would have become tummy. Reb Shimon disagrees with Tanakh and he says hukshe b'shechita. The whole idea behind Hechsha lekabel tumah. Why do you have to rinse it off? If you rinse it off, then it's clean. If you didn't rinse it off, then it's not clean. It's not called maichalod, not royal achila sodom. Rabbi Shimon says, but you did a maisa shchita. So if you did a good act of shchita, so the shchita gives it a chala shem maichal. It's roy, it's muta bachila now. So that itself is machsha lekabel tumah. Fine. So the Gemara wants to know. Yadayim tomatoes, mean yadayim tomatoes, yadayim asheni. So if the hands are sheni, sheni is not also shlishi b'chulin. So what are you talking about over here? Sheni is also shlishi b'kotchim. So is the Mishnah talking about b'eim chayv yoif of kotchim? There is no such thing as chayv by kotchim. There's behema, there's karbonis behema, and there's karbonis soif, the chatas soif, oila soif, torma b'nei yoyne, but there's no chayv can't. So the Mishnah can't be talking about kochim because it says chayah. Mishnah can't be talking about kochim because it says if dam didn't come out, it's a perfect shchita. By kochim, you need the dam. You have to be zork the dam on the mizbeach. You don't get the first base if no dam comes out. The shchita is the first of the dalar avoida sadam. You need shchita, kabbalah sadam, halacha sadam, zrika sadam. Shchita is an avoida if dam comes out. If dam doesn't come out, you're not the kabbalah and the klisher. So the shchita of the kochim is not called the shchita's kochim. The Mishnah can't be talking about kochim. So what's it talking about? Sheni is the yadayim tmeos, yadayim suavus, yadayim asheni. Normally, so asheni is also shlishi b'kochim. So the Mishnah can't be talking about kochim. So it must be talking about truma. Truma sheni is not also shlishi, but the sheni passels the truma. How can it be talking about truma? Flesh. Truma has to be gedula karka, has to grow from the ground in Eretz. So it can't be talking about truma. So that's out of the question. So what in the world is the Mishnah talking about? So the Gemara first suggested the Mishnah is talking about Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni also has to grow from the ground. So the Gemara says, no. If you live far away from Yerushalayim, you don't want to schlep the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. Kiyuchak mim chamokim. Kilo suchel says the ki varechuch Hashem alakech. It says in Chumash, then mitzart ha-kes biyadachi. You put the Maisa Sheni onto cash. Take the money to Yerushalayim, and then you buy menasata kesef, babakar batzona bayayin mashiach. Then you buy some kind of food. So segimolt, you can buy the flesh can be flesh that has kedushas ma'aser sheni. It can't be the original ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser sheni has to be geduli karka that grew in Eretz Yisrael, but it can be lakuach bekesef ma'aser sheni. So that's how the Gemara says. That's the last line on Amud Aleph. Lam Gimel Amud Aleph. What are we talking about? Hacha b'chulin shelakach and bekesef ma'aser sheni askina. And what? So what's Taka the Din? Sheni is also shlishi b'kotchim. If my yadayim asheni and I touch a kotchim, I make it into a shlishi, and if that'll touch another kotchim, it'll make it into a revi, and if that'll touch a paradum, it'll make it into a chamishi. So, if a sheni touches truma, it passels it. Doesn't make it into a shlishi, it passels it. If that truma will touch kotchim, it won't be metameyit. If yadayim shnias touches kachim, it makes it shlishi. If that kachim will touch another kachim, make it into a revi bakodesh. But yadayim shnias that touches truma just makes it possible. So the Gemara. So.
Revi or
passels? By what?
Where the shlishi bakachim touches more kachim.
Makes it a revi, and the revi is also chamishi b'paraduma. Right. It makes it into a revi, and that revi can transmit tuma to paraduma, make it into chamishi. That's the end of the line. So paraduma, you don't say it's tomei to the extent of a chamish. Tomei means you can transmit the tuma vaita. That's the end of the line. So it doesn't. We'd call the paraduma that became a chamish. We call it pasul. We wouldn't say it's tomei.
A sheni deraisa that touches truma. Is it metamei? It's also only pasul.
When we learned in Soito, the middle of Soito, we learned from the middle to the end first, the easy part, and then we learned from the beginning to the middle. So when we got to the last daf around daf lamada, so right in the middle of Soito. So the Gemara explained there that whole, all those dinim are only midirabbana. That sheni osa shlishi osa revi osa chamishi, all that can only be midirabbana. Why? Because the din is min haTorah ein oichel metami oichel. If oichel touches another oichel, it doesn't transmit the tuma. Oichel can be metami, oichel can be metami mashkin. Mashkin can be metami acherim. So how did you have? Who is the sheni over here? From the four things that are mekabel tuma, odem mekelim ochem amashkim, odem mekelim can only be mekabel tuma from an av hatuma or above, avi avoy satuma. When you have a dead body, that's called avi avoy satuma. When the tumah is transmitted to someone else, that's an av ha-tumah. When he transmits the tumah to someone else, that becomes a rishon the tumah. So Odom, the kelim, can only be mekabel tumah from av ha-tumah or above. So an Odom can never be a sheni on the level of their eyes. So Yadayim Shniyas, the whole thing is an invention by the Rabban. It can't be such a thing for two reasons. Yadayim Atomei and the rest of the body is tahor. Doesn't exist on the level of their eyes. And number two, Odom can never be a sheni. How can it be a sheni? If a Rishon Lishuma, Rishon Lituma touched him, a Rishon is called a Tolda. You have Avi Avoyis HaTumah, the mace, so whoever touched the mace, whoever was in the funeral, becomes an Av HaTumah. Then when he transmits Tumah to someone else, he becomes a Rishon HaTumah. A Rishon can only be Metame Yochel Mamashkin, can't be Metame Yodim again. So an Odom can only be Mekabel Tumah from an Av that makes him a Rishon. He can't be Mekabel Tumah from a Rishon to make him to a Shein. So it doesn't exist at all. So what can be a Rishon? Oichlim. So the oichlim touches other oichlim, the Gemara learns that from ein oichlim metame oichlim. Oichlim can be metame mashke. The mashke, the tame acherim, is only by the Rabbanim. So that's the end of the line. You can only have sheni. The sheni can't be osa shlishi on the level of the rice. So what's it going to be over here? The oichlim touches oichlim is not mekame. The oichlim touched the mashke became a sheni, then mashke, the tame acherim, is only by the Rabbanim. So the whole shlishi, revi, chamishi, the whole institution doesn't exist on the level of the ice. The whole thing is chumris min
rabban. If another touches mashkin,
makes the mashkin into a sheni. Yeah.
So if that mashkin touched the truma,
min haTorah, min the rabbanon, there's a din that kolam metameis hatruma, kolam paisalas hatruma, metameis hamashkin liyos tchilo. The Odom, let's say there's something is a sheni yadayim ashniyos. So if I touch mashkim, the yadayim is a sheni. When you transmit tumah, it always goes down a madrega, goes down a madrega, goes down a madrega. If I touch mashkim, the mashkim becomes a rishon the tumah. It goes a higher level than the sheni. The hand that transmitted the tumah to it is only a sheni of the tumah. When he touches the mashkim, then it becomes a rishon the tumah. That's a chumra mid rabbanim. That's not been altered.
So can Truma ever be Mitama Kachin?
No. Only if it can be Mitama if the Truma was a Rishon. Let's say I went to a funeral, so the mace is Avi Avos HaTumah, I become an Av HaTumah. Then I touch Truma, I make the Truma into a Rishon LeTumah, because I was an Av HaTumah. Then this Truma touches Kachin, or so it makes it Mashkin, makes it into a Sheni. Okay. But Shlishi Viviyah Hamisha doesn't exist on the level of the Rice. The whole thing is Chumris Midi Rabban. So again, so the Gemara wants to know, what's going on over here? Usually Yadayim Misuavis means Yadayim Shnias, Sheni Letumah. Sheni Letumah is going to touch something, make it puzzle. If it would have been Huchshar. Here it's not Huchshar. So Tanakhama says, when he touches with his hands, it doesn't pose a problem. If the flesh would have been Huchshar, then it would have posed a problem, and you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So the Gemara said, what are you talking about? You're talking about kachim, it's impossible, there's no chaya, and you can't have a loyatzmeim damas kosher, it can't be kachim. Talking about truma, how can flesh be truma? It doesn't exist. Truma has to be gedulik karka. He's talking about maisa sheni, it can't be maisa sheni, maisa sheni has to be gedulik truma, gedulik karka. So the Gemara finally says on the last line, oh, it's lakuch because of maisa sheni. He had maisa sheni, Paris, wherever. He was paid an amount of money. He takes the money to Yerushalayim, and he buys Bok Betzon B'Yayinam HaShechar, so he buys the flesh, so the flesh has Kedushas Maisa Sheni. It can't be the original Maisa Sheni, the flesh doesn't grow from the ground, it has Kedushas Maisa Sheni. And what's Taka the Din? What's Taka the Din? We know the Din, the other Din, and we know. Yadayim Shnias, if they touch Chumna, you passel it. And Yadayim Shnias, if it touches Kachim, it makes it into a shlishi, and that shlishi can make a revi bakodesh. But Yadayim Shnias touches my sheni. What's Taked Adin? So the Gemara quotes it's a machlokes hatanoim. Where's the Mishnah? It's Mishnah and Parah. The top line, Mishnah and Parah. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah is like this: an Odom Tomei is not allowed to eat my sheni. So what if the Odom is Tohar, just his hands are Tomei? So there are people who have the hands cut off. They can live without hands. There are people Nebuch who are living without hands. So just because he eats the food with his mouth and his stomach, the rest of the body is tohu. Just the hands are tameh. So the really that really applies the din that an Adam Tomei is not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. It says in the Chumash, Lo Biyatim Imena B'Tomei. On Erev Pesach of the 4th year, Erev Pesach of the 7th year, you have to say Vidoi Maisa. So the farmer says, I fulfilled all the mitzvahs properly. I didn't eat the Maisa Sheni in the state of Tumah. So you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. But what if it's just your daim tomatoes? Is that a problem or not? If you're going to touch the Maisa Sheni, you're going to be Mitame it. So then you are Mitame the Maisa Sheni. But but this machlokes hatanoim is if a person with yadayim tameis is forbidden from eating maaser sheni or not. So the Gemara says, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is not talking about a person eating maaser sheni and his yadayim tameis. Our Mishnah is talking a person, if the flesh would have been hukshel kabel tum, if there would have been dam, there always is dam. If there would have been dam, the flesh would have been hukshel kabel tum. So then if the person with yadayim tameis sheni would touch the flesh, he would pass the flesh, and then no one would be allowed to eat the flesh. So where does it say that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah in Parah doesn't talk about a person eating Maaser Sheni that was Mekabel Tumah from Tumas HaYadayim. We know Yadayim Shnias can pass al Tumah, and it's Metam Mikotchim. We don't have a source in that Mishnah in Parah. The top line doesn't talk about that. But the Maaser Sheni, the Chumer Midrabbanan, that if your daim shnias touch trumi, your daim shnias touch kochim, you make a tummy, you passel it, that Mishnah doesn't say a word about that, whether your daim shnias can passel maaser sheni or not. That's a machlekes. If you have your daim shnias, so you're partially tummy, are you permitted or forbidden to eat maaser sheni? So that's a bad Mishnah. The Mishnah has nothing to do. So the Gemara says, huh? Oh, so that's what the Gemara is going to finally come to that. The Gemara is finally going to come to that, yeah. Yeah. So first the Gemara gave another suggestion. It doesn't say in the Mishnah to what extent the Yadayim on Tomei. It says Yadayim is obvious. Tavezok that the Yadayim. Who says that the Yadayim in the Mishnah are Sheni? Kostam Yadayim Ashnir. So if a person is Mesir Das all day long, he's not careful Betumas Yadayim. So that's called Stam Yadayim. Yadayim Askoni Hashem. You're not sure what he touched all day long. If we really have a suffix, maybe he touched something that's metame him, then he has to go to the mikveh, the whole body, not just to wash until he said that. But he doesn't think that he really became tame. He touched parts of his body, touched his shoes, he touched dirty stuff. He washed his hand, yeah, but so that's only a chumer midirabon and stam yadayim shniyasim. So where do you have, the Gemara says, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where the yadayim are rishon l'tumah. Who does azach yadayim is rishon l'tumah, the whole body is tahar. Yadayim Mesuav, it sounds like the hands are Tomei, the rest of the body is Tor. That's only Yadayim Shnias. Where do you have Yadayim should be a Rishon Tumah? Where is that? So the Gemara says, yeah, there's a Machlokes Hatanoim, there's a Pasuk in Chumash, there's an institution of Tzaraz Batim, if you have a Bayis HaMenuga, so the Torah says, Habol HaBayis becomes Tomei. Someone enters the Bayis, it becomes Tomei. How does he enter the Bayis? So he enters the Bayis, Rosh HaBerubo. He walks in, Rosh HaVerubo. What if he only sticks his hands into the bias? He didn't go Rosh HaVerubo. He only sticks his hands into the bias. So that'll be a machloikis hatanoim, where the bia b'miktsa shmo bia b'miktsa shmo. What is the word bia? Habu ala bias, one who enters the bias. Here the Gemara talks, I'm tahar, and I stick my hands into the bias hamanuga, did I become tamei or not? So that's called bia b'miktsa, so I stuck my hand, didn't go in. If I go in Rosh HaVerubo, that's Habol HaBayis. Then I become Tomei. I become a Rishon LeTumah. So I only stick my hands in. They only stick my hands in. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Bia B'miktzah Shmo B'Anah. So we mentioned last time, where do you have another din, Bia B'miktzah, an opposite case? I'm Tomei, and you're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. So what if I stick my hands into the Azara? The Metzora has to bring Korbanos when it becomes Tahar. And then they put the dam on Boin Yadav HaMonis, or Boin Ragla HaMonis, and on Tunuch Ozna. So he has to lean a little bit. So he doesn't walk in the whole body into the Azar, because he's still a Mechusi Kippurim. They didn't bring the carbon yet. So when they bring the carbon, he just sticks his finger in, he sticks part of his head in and he sticks his toe in. That's only Bir B'Mikzah. So the Gemara says that's a pasuk in Chumash. He has no choice. He has to do that. He can't stand in the Ezra Snoshim and they'll take the dam out. The Ezra Snoshim is Harabais. It's not Azorah. So if they're going to take the dam from the Asham Metzora out of the Azorah, taken into the Ezra Snoshim, the dam will be Nipsel B'Yotzei. So then they're going to sprinkle it on Tenuchos Nahanyamonis, Bonyanamonis. So that Nishtaikin, he won't be Yotzei the Mitzvah then. So he has to stick his finger into the Azorah. So that's Beterish and the Chumash. He has no choice. But the Gemara has a machloikis. Is that an Iser? And the Torah tells us, even though Bia B'Mikzas is an Iser, we allow it for the Metzora. We permit him to violate that Iser. Or no, the Pasuk indicates Bia B'Mikzas, Lav Shema Bia, entering a little bit, not Rosh Aruba, but doesn't pose a problem at all. So here the Gemara says, what's the din? So the Kuli Alma, the Gemara says, right in the middle of the Omud, if Hichna Siyadav L'Bayis HaMenuga, so there's a machloikis HaTanoim. Do you say Yodav Shnias? Or do you say Yodav HaRishon HaTuma? And was Bashtek the Machlokes, that's right in the middle here, the Tanya. It's about 15 lines from the top. And the line begins with the word Yadayim Tchilasen. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, if you put your hands into a Bayis HaMenuga, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, a line later, the Kuli Alma, two lines later, they all agree, Bia B'Mikzas, Lav Shmo Bia. On the level of their Isa, he stuck his hands into the Bayis HaMenuga, he's not Tomei, because he didn't enter Rosh HaVeruba. But it's only a Gzerim of the Rabbanon if we're going to allow him, if we're going to say that he didn't become Tomei at all, even his hands didn't become Tomei. Next thing you know, the guy will walk in completely into the Bayis HaMenuga, he'll think that he's Tahar. He won't realize that there's a Pasuk in Chumash, Habal HaBayis becomes Tomei. So the Rabbanon, they declare the Chumr, the Yadayim become Tomei. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim, to what extent does it become Tomei? So one Tana says, there's a chumer midirabbanon yadayim shnius. That's yadayim stam yadayim askoni. You're saying, so here it's not stam yadayim. Here the guy must have washed his hands in advance. Then he sticks his two hands into the bayis hamenuga, and he wasn't misiach das from the taras yadayim. So midirabbanon, you say the hands become tummy, similar to stam yadayim shnius. So the level of tumah will be sheni. And the other Tana disagrees, and he says no. Just like if he would walk in completely, he would become a rishon l'tumah. So if he sticks his hands in some of the Rabbanon, the hands become a Rishon L'Tumah. So if you're talking a Rishon L'Tumah, so you don't have to give all these pshatim that you're talking about the Lokuch B'Kesef Ma'aser Sheni. Just touching, you can say that he touched, you can say that he touched Nachma, where's the Gemara? Say that he touched Chulin. Where is again the Gemara?
The
hands are going to be tummy here. It's around 8 lines from the top. El Amar Papa, Ochav Yadayim Tchila Askin. We're talking that Yadayim Arishon LeTumah, and it goes with this Tana that Yadayim can become Arishon LeTumah if he stuck his hands into a Bayis HaMenuga. If it's Stam Yadayim, then it becomes a Sheni. But if he puts hands into a Bayis HaMenuga, it becomes Arishon LeTumah. It's Arishon LeTumah. If it touches food, makes it into a Sheni LeTumah. And what's the issue of eating food that's a sheni l'tumah? So if it's ma'aser sheni, if it's lakuch because of ma'aser sheni, so you're not allowed to eat it in a state of tumah. But that's going to be really tummy. That is really going to be tummy. If yadayim tchila and he touches ma'aser sheni, makes it into a sheni, and then the sheni is tummy midirabbanon, because yadayim tchila is only midirabbanon. So it makes the ma'aser sheni into a sheni l'tumah, so you're not allowed to eat it. So that was one suggestion. Sure. Then the Gemara has later on the daf, about 10 lines from the bottom, Rav Lozer Amar Rav Hoshiya Anupshat. That 10 lines from the bottom, the line begins with the word Hoshiya. Rav Lozer Amar Rav Hoshiya Anupshat. Hocha b'chulun shenasu al taras ha-kodesh askinan. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there were people, probably Kohanim, who were always eating korbanos. Kohanim can eat chatas and osham. Yisraelim can only eat shlamim and toida. They can't eat chatas and hashem. Chatas and hashem is kachim kachim. Only eaten by zichei kohanim and the azarim. So they were kohanim and Yisraelim who were in the practice of eating karbonis all the time. So they always wanted to be careful. Even when they were eating chulin, they would eat the chulin al taras hakodesh. They would act as if the chulin that they're eating, they would eat regular vegetable salad, a regular chicken, a regular flesh. They would treat it as if it's also kachim. So this is unclear. This practice that people have to eat chulin Ochlei kotchim would have a practice to be medaktek, to be machmati, tchulin, altaras hakodesh, to make believe as if it's kotchim. Is that a din mederabbanon or is that a minik? It's very unclear. The Gemara talks about it in so many different mesichtas. Very unclear. There's a sefer Hamikdash David. Mikdash David by Rabbi David Akiva Rappaport. He learned Slabotka had a kaila where they learned kotchim. And it was a new chiddush. The Jewish people haven't been learning kotchim for many centuries. So this was 100 years ago. They started learning kotchim. So he writes that the rule was in the kailo that everyone had to write down whatever they were mechadish. So they learned it once and twice and they didn't break into the inyan, couldn't figure out what was going on. And finally, they learned it a third time and they finally figured out what's going on. So he wrote like this, Rav David Akiva Rappaport, he wrote Svarim, it's called Mikdash David, his name is David Akiva. He's a descendant of Rabbi Akiva Eger. That's his name, David Akiva. Akiva after Rabbi Akiva Eger, an ancestor of his. The first sefer that he wrote was called Tzemach David. Tzemach David is Ha'oris on Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger. So it's a knockout sefer, a gewaldiger sefer. Rabbi Chana Wasserman never met him, and he was so taken by his sefer, Tzemach David Ha'oris on Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger, he hired him, sight unseen, to give the highest shiur in his yeshiva, above him. He gave the highest shiur in Baranovich. Then when he came to the yeshiva, he realized, first of all, he was a bacha, he wasn't married. So I can make the top magid shiur a bacha, a single guy. And then he studied so terribly, the Talmidim didn't know what language he was talking. He was talking Yiddish, but they couldn't understand what he was talking about. He was very absent-minded, he used to walk on the street and bump into the lamppost. He was always thinking and learning. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. So Rabbi Chanan went to Rabbi Chaim Oizer, he asked him, what should I do? I hired this person, he's a bacher and he studies. He says, a bacher, that'll straighten out. Ultimately, he did get married. The end of the story was that he died in the moor. He died in Siberia from malnutrition. He told everybody else to have to eat the chazer that they gave them. And he himself didn't have the heart to eat it. It wasn't a chumre. No room to be machmir. He didn't want to eat the trefa, so he died pasha from malnutrition. And then his wife, they were mata his wife to remarry. He called Aden to make sure that they're there when he dies, that his wife shouldn't be in Haguna. His wife should be able to remarry. So the bacher, that was straightened out. The stuttering never straightened out. And it took the Talmidim a couple of months till they understood what he was talking about. He was a big genius. So the first sefer that Rabbi Chana Wasserman was taken by was the Tzemach David, Ha'oris Anshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger. And then he put out his form, Mikdash David. He has long encyclopedic essays, like you would write for an encyclopedia, on Inyone Kotchim. He writes the introduction. He learned in the Kolo in Slabotka, the Kolo Kotchim, and they worked everything out. It took him a long time till he figured out how he put all the Gemaras together, how to make sense out of everything. And so he has this discussion. His sefer, he says, doesn't have any rice one way or the other. It does not. What is this institution that they had to eat chulin al taras hakodesh? People who were in the practice of eating kotchim would be medaktik to eat chulin also to make believe as if it would be kotchim and if it would be mekabel tumah in a way that kotchim would be mekabel tumah, they wouldn't eat it. Or other people were kohanim and they would eat truma all the time. So they would be machmer, they would be makbet to eat chulin al taras hatrumah. So he's not sure whether these are dinim takona de rabbanon or this is a minik type that they had. So I call upon him here. The Gemara discusses it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lozam, Rabbi Boshia says, why do you have to say that the Mishnah is talking about Maisa Sheni and Yadayim Rishon? Because he stuck his hand into a Bais HaManuga, such a modern case, a Bais HaManuga. And then it's Yadayim Rishon instead of being a Sheni. And then he touched the Maisa Sheni, he made it Tomei. No, give an easy upshot. Hoch b'chulna shenasa al taras ha-kodesh askina. And what? And there's a machlekes ha-tanoim. So the Gemara said there's a machlekes ha-tanoim here. How far do you go? B'chulin shenasu al taras ha-kodesh. Does it make sense to be machmer so far? Maybe it's too much, whether it's midrabbanan or a minik, even if it's a minik, If you have a minig shtus, so you don't follow the minig. Even if the people have a minig. That's how the Rabbi Natam says on the first daf in Bava Basra. In the Mishnah, there, he proves in the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra that sometimes there's a minig that you're not supposed to follow. He proves on the Mishnah like that. That's a famous Chuvas Rabbi Natam. He says that the word minig is spelled Mem Nun Hey Gimel, the same letters as Gehenim. But sometimes you follow a minig, so it goes straight to Gehenim. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Does this make sense? The last line on the Omid. Does it make sense to have Chulun Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh, that it should have Shlishi? Maybe it's too far-fetched. Maybe it's too much of a Chum. So the Gemara said, that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. So the Gemara is suggesting, maybe the Mishnah is talking, Nochamol, Chulun Shanasu, it can't be talking about Kachim, because it says Chayin, it says L'yotza Mehem Dam. If L'yotza Mehem Dam, it won't be Kashi, because there's no Avedis HaDam. So the Gemara says, no. It's chulin, but it has the din like kachin. How can it be chulin has a din? Chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. So therefore, isheni is also shlishi. If your daim shniyos will touch the flesh, and we're acting as if either acting mitam minig or acting mitam takana derabano, we have to act with this kachin because I always eat kachin. You have to treat this chulin dikat behema as if it would have been kachin. Chulin shenas al taras hakodesh. So the Gemara said maybe that's the pshat in the mission. But then it'll come out that the Mishnah is the Loki Rabbi Yeshua. That's how the Gemara says. That's unusual. You have a Machlekes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, so we really paskin like Rabbi Lezer. The Gemara says Rabbi Lezer Shamutehu. He was from the Beis Shammai. So the Gemara has we there are cases where we paskin like Rabbi Lezer, but Ruba we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. So you're going to zet sign the Mishnah here like Rabbi Yeshua, the Loki Rabbi Lezer. It's odd, an awkward thing. But that's how he suggests. Maybe the Mishnah goes the Loki Rabbi Yeshua, the Tanya, Samachalik Zablazer Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that it doesn't make sense to be so machmed. It's a minik shtus, or it's too far, the gzera doesn't make sense. So then the Gemara says, why did you have to say Chulun Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh, and the Mishnah is the Loki Rabbi Yeshua? Why don't you say it's not going on a person who's in the practice of eating kachin? It's talking about a person who's in the practice of eating truma. Even after the churban by sheni, there are no karbanas, but there's still truma. The Gemara says they had paraduma water, and they used to be metar people with the paraduma water. Chavrai medakan bigalilo. That's the Gemara. Chavrai, Tamir HaChachamim, would be metar themselves with the paraduma water in the Galil. They had still leftover paraduma. There's no din. To make a paraduma, you have to have a Beis HaMikdash guest. You have to be mazeh the dam, nochach pesach al moed. But if you have a paraduma from the Zman Abayis, and you have the water made par, you can be mitar people even after the Churban Abayis. So why did you have to say that the Mishnah is going chulun shenas al taras hakodesh, and it's deloka Rebbe Yeshua, which is rare, it's not Mishnah deloka Rebbe Yeshua, say it's chulun shenas al taras hatruma. And even Rabbi Shua agrees to that. Chulun Shanas Al Taras HaTruma makes sense that it should be Dina Ketruma. So Sheni Zos HaShlishi. The Gemara says, no, it can't be like that. Truma can never be flesh. Truma has to be Gidule Karka. And there's no such thing as being paid the Truma and taking the money and buying flesh. Maisa Sheni can be paid. So such a thing as flesh, Basa Halakuch B'mo is Maisa Sheni. That was the first pshat the Gemara had here. Chulun Shalakachan. But there's no such thing as being paid a truma. You can't be paid a truma. If it becomes tummy, it's tummy. There's nothing to discuss. So it doesn't make sense to have chulun shenasu al tara. There is an institution, chulun shenasu al tara sa truma, but it only applies to fruits and vegetables and grains. It only applies to gedulei karka. The Gemara says it can't apply to flesh. So the Mishnah can't be talking about chulun shenasu al tara sa truma. What the Mishnah could be talking, chulun shenasu al tara sa kodesh, because kachim can be flesh and can be fruits and vegetables also. A lot of things can be hegdish. So that's what the Gemara says. Why did Gizet sign? What does the Gemara has it? Figma, the last word on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Going over to the next daf Lamed Dal. The Lukma Zet signed the Mishnah Bechulun Shanas Al Taras HaTrumah, and even Rabbi Yeshua agrees. Rabbi Yeshua only disagrees. Bechulun Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh. That's too far fetched. That he doesn't hold from. Zogchulun Shanas Al Taras HaTrumah. The Gemara says Lois Al Gadayta can't be because the Mishnah is talking about flesh and basar, and basar can never be truma. So it doesn't make sense to have a chumra to treat flesh. I'm ruggled to eat truma. I'm a kohen. I always eat truma, and I always have to be careful. The truma should be tahar. So even when I eat chulin, I'm going to be careful that I shouldn't eat the chulin if it became tamei. the way Truma would have become Tameh. But by Flesh, it can't be a Chlufa. It can't make a mistake. Flesh can never be Truma. So it doesn't make sense. So the only thing it can say is, Chol Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh. The Mishnah will have to be the Lurker Rebbe Shum. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on and on. The Gemara has a lot to say about Tumah V'Tara. But we're going to leave it out this time. We're really interested in learning Hilcha Shechita. Let me just mention, the Gemara picks up, hey, take a look here, we're not going to learn this Gemara either. Lamed Heyom and Beis in the middle. Lamed Heyom and Beis in the middle, according to the caption from the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer, Hukshiru B'Shechita. Again, the Mishnah was on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, so there was a Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah. He shechted the behemah, and the impossible happened. No dam came out at all. So no dam came out. So the flesh of the behemah was never hukshul lekabel tumah. So if a tummy touches it, the flesh will not be mekabel tumah. Because oichlam is only mekabel tumah ki yutan mayim alzera. If it was rinsed off with one of the zaymashkum, fine. That's the Mishnah Tarkam. And there, Reb Shimon disagrees. What do you mean? The whole theory behind, the whole idea behind hechshul lekabel tumah. Machshirin, Maseches Machshirin. The whole idea of Machshirin is when you rinse it off, it gets a shame. It's clean now. Before you rinsed off the apple, you shouldn't eat it because it may be full of dirt, full of germs. You rinse it off, now it's Roy Lachil Sodom. So Reb Shimon says when you do Shechita, Shechita is Machshir LeKabel Tumah. Even if no dam comes out, Shechita is a Machshir, so that gives it a shame. That's what Reb Shimon says. So the Gemara is not sure. What's it that meant? Reb Shimon means only Huchshiru B'Shechita. Even if dam, let's say dam comes out, he doesn't believe in dam coming out. He doesn't believe that dam is one of the Zayim Mashkim. Dam is one of the Zayim Mashkim. But the question is, which dam? Dam shanashama yotzebo, or davke dam she'en anashama yotzebo? When you shech the animal, so the dam that comes out in the beginning is dam of a cut. It's bleeding. Dam shanashama yotzebo is going to be a little later. So the Gemara is not sure how to read Reb Shimon. So that's, the Gemara has that discussion in the middle of Lamed Hey on the base. They quote the caption from Reb Shimon Am Huchshiru B'Shechita. Amar Abasi, Oy Mahay Reb Shimon. Shechitosa Machsheris V'loi Gam. He disagrees with Tanakama Men Akotza Lakotza. Tanakama says, only if Dam comes out, the Dam is one of the Zayim Mashkim. That's Dam Shanashama Yotzeban, it's Machshir. And the Tanakama holds that the act of Shechita doesn't give it a shame Oichem. And Reb Shimon holds punk farkert, only shchitosa machsheres v'loy dam. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is it correct? Is it not correct? And the Gemara gets involved. Which dam? When you say dam, how do you know dam is one of the seven mashkim? The whole idea behind the seven mashkim is you washed off the apple, now it's cleaner, so now it's meichel adam. You're going to take an apple that has germs on it, then you're going to wash it off with blood. Now you can't eat it. So where is the mocker in the chumash that rinsing off an apple, rinsing off some food with dam, makes it the roi lekabel tumah? That dam is one of the zayim mashkim. That the Rashi Teva says yad shocha dam, the dalit of the dam is dam. So what's the mocker? So the one quotes the mocker is from Nevuah's Bilam Harosha. Bilam Harosha says the dam chalolam yishte. It's in the middle of his delivery of his Nevuah. The dam chalolam yishte. So dam chalolam. The Jewish people will be victorious in battle. One will conquer Eretz Yisrael, and one going to kill our enemies, and they're going to be rolling in dam. It's an awful description, but that's what Bilam says in the Nevuah. The dam chalolam yishte, as if the Jewish people will be drinking the blood, not like drink the blood, but that means we'll succeed in killing all of the terrorists. We'll kill all the enemies in Eretz. It's going to be a war, so we'll be killing the enemies. So dam chalolam yishte, since the verb that's used is shtiyah. So that shows that dam chalolim, chalol is a person who is killed, murdered. So the dam that comes out when a person is murdered has a din of mashke. So that's where the Gemara has a discussion. What if a person just has a bruise and he's bleeding a little bit? That's not dam shanashama yatsubo. That's called dam magofa. So the Gemara says dam magofa is not machshir lekabel tumah, only dam shanashama yatsubo. Then the Gemara has a whole discussion. When you do the shechita, the dam that comes out in the beginning is not dam shanashama yatsubo, comes out later. The Gemara gets involved in an important topic of tumah v'tara, but that's not why we're learning chulin. Okay, so that's we're skipping a few dafim here. We'll go to the Mishnah about shechita on lamed vav amud aleph, on lamed zayin amud aleph. Daf lamed zayin amud aleph. That's a famous din. If you shecht an animal, you did a perfect shechita, and it turns out the animal, you checked inside, the animal has a disease. And the lungs and the kishkas, a broken leg or something. So there's a whole list of 70 different traders. That's the next parak. I'm not going to learn the next parak either. The next parak just gives all the, you have to know a lot of biology for that. You have to be a doctor. So next parak gives off a list of all the treifas. So if you shecht an animal, you do a perfect shechita, and it's a treifa, so that's a pasuk, you're not allowed to eat a treifa. If the animal died a natural death, or you shoot an animal, or you stab it to death, and you didn't do a proper shechita, that's called an avel. You're not allowed to eat treifa, you're not allowed to eat an avel. What if you have a misukenes? A behem is holding by gesisa, holding by the end. Nishkan treifa, and I run quickly and I shech the animal. See, if I'm concerned that maybe the animal died in the middle of the shechita and I finished the shechita on a dead animal, that's about no good. But what if you're sure that the animal was alive during the whole shechita? So that's called hashech des hamsukenes. Misukenes means an ishken treife, and I did the shechita while the animal was alive. So then the Mishnah says, they correct it here, either it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or Rabbi Gamliel, the first time it says, I see the animals holding by gesisa. The animal's holding by the egg on the end, by its last legs. So I have to make sure, I have to know for sure that the animal was alive till the end of the shechita. So we require, let's say you have a cow. So the cow has two front legs and two back legs. So the two, on a human being, if we would walk on all four, so the hands would be the front legs, and the legs would be the back legs. So by the hema, the front legs are called yad, and the back legs are called regal. So he says, "Hashet tefarches biyad uberegal." The animal has to start shaking, has to treselzach after you finish the whole shechita. Has to shake. No, I don't think so. The biyad uberegal, either the right side or the left side, has to shake. The front leg and the back leg of one side or the other has to shake a leg and both legs front to the back to demonstrate that it was alive the whole time. Ablezer Amadayim Zinka, he says it's not necessary that it should shake. If the dam gushes, dam is shooting all over the place, so that shows that the animal was alive till the end. If the animal would have died in the middle of the shechita, the dam wouldn't be shooting all over the place. And Rab Shimon agrees. Rab Shimon by Choy agrees with the Rab Lezer. I'm Rab Shimon, Ashechet Balaylom. That was earlier in the Masechta, that the Mishnah says, if he shech Balaylom, lechatchili shouldn't shech Balaylom because he may make an avela. You have to cut it in the right place in the neck. If you have the lights on at night, so there's no problem. If you have an avuka, there's no problem. An avuka means if you have two candles near each other. Abayas, you turn on the lights in the slaughterhouse. You do a lot of shechit at night, so that's even mutter lechatchila. But if it's dark and you're shechting balayla, so lechatchila you shouldn't do. But yeah, but it's good. So what if you're shechting a behemah mesukenes balayla? How do you know whether it was gushing blood all over the place? Amrab Shimon, hashechet mesukenes balayla. That's how Rashi reads pshat. The guy shechting mesukenes balayla. Ulamocha tomorrow morning when the sun rises. Ishkim umatzok solim aleim dam, and he finds the neck of the animal is all full of dam. So, and it appears, or the skin of the animal, the hide of the animal, not just that dam came out, dam is gushing out and it's all over the animal, is biodua. How does he say, kshera, why? Shezinka. Obviously, the dam was gushing out. Ukemidas Reb Lezer, he subscribed, Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Lezer. Lezer says that you don't need that it should shake Pirkus or Yad Veregel to know that it was alive. If Zinka Dam, if the Dam gushes out, is good. And if you shecht it at night and you didn't see, shecht it in Sukenis in the middle, in the dark, and you didn't see, then in the morning you see that the whole animals, all Fashmeik with Dam, is Biodua that Zinka Dam, and Reb Shimon holds like Reb Lezer. And the Chachamim disagree with the first Tana. First Tana says that should Tefarchis Yad Veregel. You have to have either the right side or the left side, has to shake both the front leg and the back leg. So the Chachamim are not necessary. As long as it shakes one leg, either a front leg or a back leg, is genug. If it wags its tail, after the shechita is all over, wags its tail, the animal was still alive. That's not a reflex reaction. That's only if the animal is alive. So it's a little unclear here. I remember I once heard a shiur from Moshe Feinstein on this. It can't pagude. The Daf Yomi was up to Daf Lamed Zayin, so he gave a shir on this. So he wanted to learn that the machloikis hatanoim is, what's the definition of shchita? You can't shech the dead animal. So is it enough if the animal was alive till you finish the whole shchita? Or do you require that the shchita should kill the animal? The animal should die earlier because of the fact that you did the shchita. So you thought maybe that's the machlekes over here. But I saw other achronim have a long discussion on this. The Shach and the Prichodosh and other achronim have a long discussion and have three different opinions. They don't say that that's the machlekes hatanoim. They have a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. What do you need by shchita? It's sufficient. Let's say the animal min hashamayim was going to die at 9:30 in the morning. And I went and I shechted at 9:29. So now it's dead at 9:30. It died the same time it would have died anyway. So the shechita didn't kill the animal. The animal was going to die 9:30 anyway. Let's say another comes and he tells me, this animal is going to drop dead exactly 9:30. So I don't want it to become nevela. The nevela fleshy cell is a nevela. It's less expensive. I want it to be glat kosher. So I'm going to run quickly, shecht it. I'm going to finish the shechita exactly at 9:30. So the shechita didn't kill the animal. The shechita was done while the animal was alive. So one a day in achrenim, that's sufficient. If you do the shechita while the animal is alive, that's enough. Another day, no, you have to have that the shechita should kill the animal. It has to die earlier than it would have otherwise died. And then there's a third day that achrenim have, the shach. Shach says like that, it's not enough. The animal has to be still alive if they finish the shechita. Has to be mefarches if they finish the shechita. It's not enough that that it was alive the whole time. It has to survive after the shechita. Different opinions. So this is the topic of Mesukenes. So the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion. How do you know that if you shecht the Mesukenes, that you're allowed to eat it bechlal? How does the Mishnah know? Maybe you're not allowed to eat it with Mesukenes. Maybe shechita and Mesukenes is no good. That's what the Gemara asks. That's the first question. Mesukenes, Mimai Desharia? How does the Mishnah know? Ver zok that it's mutter. Maybe shechres Mesukenes should be also. Then the Gemara asks on the question, why should you think there's a pasuk in Chumash that says you can't eat nevela? Nevela means you never did shechita at all. And then there's a pasuk in Chumash that says you can't eat a trefa. Trefa means a diseased animal, has a broken leg, it's halfway dead, it's on its way to die. But where do you have, what's the havamina that a mesukenes should be asking? So again, so the Gemara first asks, Mesukenes, Mimai Desharia, how does the Mishnah know? How do the Mishnah know the premise that if you shechta Mesukenes and Mutta, maybe it should be us? Then the Gemara asks on the question, Mimai Tesa Gadaitni Asira, why in the world should you think that it should be us? Gemara says, why? That's very simple. Why? Nichsiv Yabat Pasik. So this Pasik, it says on the margin, Lekamon Membei, Samar Aleph, the Gemara there has a famous machlokes. That's the first Amud in Perikei L'Treifas. They have a whole list of 70 treifas, and the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. What is the basis for this pasuk and chumash that you're not allowed to eat an animal that's a treifa? Is it because we assume treifa ain achaya? An animal that has a treifas will die within 12 months. So since it's half dead, it's on its way to die, so shechita isn't chal on a dead animal. Let's say an animal died already, then you shecht. So the shechita is not matir, a dead animal. So since the animal already has one leg out, it's already on its way to die because trefa ain't a chaya, will not survive 12 months. So that's like shechting a dead animal. So if the animal really died and you never shechted it, that's a nevela. If the animal is half dead, it's a trefa ain't a chaya, so that's called a trefa. So that's one opinion. Trefa is asa machila because trefa ain't a chaya. The other opinion is no, trefa chaya. Even if the trefa could live, I may be asa mshana. It's a gzeris hakosim that this disease is you're not allowed to eat the animal, right? Because it's a diseased animal, not necessarily because it's going to die within a year. So that's the machloikus on the first daf. So the Gemara says, where did you get such an idea from that treifa ain achai, that you're not allowed to eat a treifa because it's oimed lomus within a year? So the Gemara says, based on this pasuk says zos achai asher tochelu. The chumash tells you, have you established which behemoth is a kosher animal, which behemoth is not kosher? An elephant and a horse and a donkey and a pig are not kosher animals. Why not? In order to be kosher animal, it has to be malagera, mafis parsa. It has to have chew its cud, and it has to have split hoofs. So that's how the pasuk starts. The following animals may be eaten, and it lists off an example of animals, and it says it depends on malagera, mafris parsa. So the Gemara has an additional level of zosachai means these are the animals that may be eaten, ayola tzvi v'yachmor, and then it says malagera mafris parsa. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Zosachaya chaya echol. If the animal is going to survive more than 12 months. It's Aymed Lichia, it's more than 12 months, Echol, then you can eat it. Sheinacha, if the animal is not going to survive 12 months, Lo Teichal. So the Gemara is giving an additional, this is not Pshutu Shal Mikra. Pshutu Shal Mikra is the following animals are kosher. There's an adrasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So one Tana claims that's what the Torah Shabbat Peh reads into the Pasuk, that the gist of all of the treifas, the Chumash doesn't say what's a treifa, the underlying idea behind all of the treifas is that it's not going to last 12 months. So the Gemara says, based on that same pasuk, just like you say, trefa ain't a chayin, you're not allowed to eat it. So why do you have to have dafka a trefa? It has tissue damage, has a broken leg, or a hole in the lungs, or a hole in the kishkas. It's holding, misukan, it's holding by the end, holding by gesisa, and you chapois, and you shechted right away. Maybe it's also, it's only midlamos, it's mamish holding by the end. That's a geisus. A geisus means the Rambam writes a definition. The Rambam writes in a holos in Perakal. Definition of gesisa is the tahalich hamoves has begun already. Tahalich, a process of death. That's the Hebrew translation of the Pirusham. The Pirusham Shanslaram is written in Arabic. So in the old Hebrew translation, so they write tahalich hamoves began already. That's called geisus. So if the tahalich hamoves began, so it's not called chaya al shem hasid. And the Mishnah says you may eat. Misukenis. If it shakes a little bit, if it's mefarches afterwards, it's okay. Achet tefarches, yad regular, yad oregal. So Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe based on the pasuk zosachaya, maybe it should imply chaya echol shein echaya lo techa. Maybe misukenis shouldn't be eaten either. Well, misukenis ain't a chaya, so maybe you shouldn't be allowed to eat misukenis. So Gemara geita bek agan said Gemara till he finally proved that you may eat. He may eat the misukenis. That's what it says in the Mishnah. He may eat the misukenis. How do you know that one? That's what the Gemara assumes. Chayy means Yud Beis Chayy. I don't know. That's the assumption. That's what the Ramban asked the Kasha in the beginning of the second parak. The Chiddush Ramban asks, how can you have a machlokes hatanoim? Whether chaya, whether trefa chay, trefa ain't a chaya, why didn't they experiment? They should have locked up, taken 100 animals that had a trefus, locked them up, and see if they survive, give them food and drink, see if they'll live for 12 months. And he quotes the Rishami that it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes in mitzias. Whatever you can experiment and ascertain what the facts are, you don't have a machlokes about that, you experiment and you find out what the facts are. So he answers, like the Yerushalmi, he answers, Mistam and the Pshat is they probably took 100 animals and they probably locked them all up and he gave them food and drink. And probably all the 100 animals died within 12 months. So one Tana said, there you have it. It's a raya that trefa ain't a chaya. The other says, no, it wasn't a controlled experiment. Maybe it didn't prove, it proves ruba the ruba of the baim is that half trefa is going to die within 12 months. Maybe if he would have taken 20,000 animals, maybe 10 of them would not have died within 12 months. But this they all agree. Ruba the ruba of the trefus are gonna survive for 12 months. Yeah. So that's where the Gemara starts off. How do you know that? How does the Mishnah know? How does the Tana know that if you shech the misukenis it's good? Since it's holding by gesisa, it's holding by the talich hamavis already began. Look, you see the animal's holding by gun. So what does it help if you rush and you shech it? Maybe say since it's einachai, it's not gonna live 12 months. It's gonna live another day or two. In Shulchan Aruch, they talk about a geisus. A geisus, we assume, is going to die within 3 days. Today, you have geisus in the hook them up on intravenous and oxygen, so they can live on for years. But in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have intravenous, they didn't have these things. So geisus, for sure, is if Talich HaMavis already began, of course, he's going to die within 3 days. One of the Rabbanim in our generation that publishes a lot on these medical issues writes, that's the definition of geisus. If a person is going to die within 3 days, and since today they hook him up with intravenous and with oxygen, so he's not called a geisus till the last 3 days. That's a joke. That's not the definition of geisus. And the days of the Gemara, the days of the Shulchan Aruch, a goses would die within 3 days. But that's not the definition of a goses. One is going to die within 3 days. Goses, gesisim means when the process of death has already set in. So you have to work out, you have to figure out what is the process of death. But that's not a definition. You're going to die within 3 days. So that's what the Gemara asks. How do you know that you're allowed to eat a goses? The din is that you're allowed to. So the Gemara has, we'll start from the final answer. The Gemara has in the middle of Amud Beis, middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, is a famous Gemara. It's about 15 lines down from the top. And the line begins with the words, V'iboyis Eimo, and if you want to, you can say a different mocker, V'iboyis Eimo. I will say, Mehocha, I have a mocker from a Pasuk in Yechezkel. That's a question. A Pasuk in Yechezkel, Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yafina. What do you mean? You're learning out of Din Deraisa, that if you shechta misukenes, it's kosher, you're going to learn out Pshat and Chumash based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel. You can't prove anything from Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So that's a Pelu de Gigmar. So the Gemara says like this, Yechezkel HaNovi was told by Nevuah by Kodesh Baruch Hu, he should eat some kind of disgusting, awful tasting bread, and he should sleep on his left side, sleep on his right side, a whole Nevuah he was given. So he says, Rabbanu Shalom, give me a break, I should eat that disgusting bread that was dipped into Tzoyas B'nai Odom. I can't stand it, but don't give me a break. I was always a religious man. I always kept kosher. I never ate nevela treifa. Don't tell me to do such a terrible thing. For Oymar, and I cried out to Rabbanu Shalom, Ho Hashem Balakim, give me a break. Hine nafshi lo metuma. I never was metameh by body. I was always careful in the nevela treifa lo achalti menurai. Since I was a young man, I never ate treifas. Menurai barotto, I never. V'lobo befid besar pigul. I never ate treifa food. Hine nafshi. So the Gemara says, so he says, give me a break. I observe the mitzvahs. So what do you mean he observes the mitzvahs? Doesn't eat non-kosher food. A religious Jew doesn't eat non-kosher food. So the Gemara understands, he's saying, I observed midas chasidus. I went leftim mishuras adin. So he pleads with the Rabbanu Shalom, he's crying b'tfilah, give me a break, don't require of me to do such a terrible thing. The tzivah hanavu, he should eat this disgusting food. I do so many midas chasidus, I have rachmanis on me. So what is the midas chasidus? What is he talking about? So the Gemara says, Hine nafshi lo metuma. I was always careful not to become tame. I never became a balkeri. What does that mean? Sometimes a man is thinking about being with a woman, so he'll become a balkeri even without being with a woman. So he says, I was always careful. Shelo hirharti bayom lo v'lidei tuma balayla. I was never maharer. It was never thinking about women in the daytime, that he should become a balkeri if he wasn't with his wife. That's the first thing. Okay, that's a proper thing, not to be mahara, to be bali de keri. Then he says, nevela treifa lo echalte menurai. Nobody eats nevela treifa. So what is he talking about? Mar says, shelo echalte besar kuskus. Kuskus means shech quickly. Kus means lishkot. I never ate misukenis. If there was an animal that was holding by Gesisa and they rushed him and said, hurry up quickly, shecht it fast, before it dies, I would always abstain from eating that animal. So you see, it's a midas chasidus not to eat it. But anybody other than Yechezkel would eat a beima kuskus, beima that they said, shecht it quickly before it becomes an event. And then the third thing that he says, v'lobo b'fi b'sar pigul, I never ate pigul. What is pigul? Strictly speaking, what is pigul? Pigul means a carbon. Pigul means you bring a carbon and you shechted it intending to have the wrong kavana. You intended to eat it after the zman a carbon is up. Every carbon has a zman. If it's kachim, the zman is yam v'layla. If it's kachim kam, mishnei yam v'layla echad. So he's going to take the flesh from the carbon, put it in the freezer, he's going to eat it next week. So then he's going to be makri around the mizbech next week. Let's say there's a murim, he's going to be makri the next week on the mizbech. It'll be nifsal balina. So that's called pigul. So he says, I never ate pigul, lebo b'fi b'sar pigul. What is he referring to? She'lachalta b'beim m'shahore b'chochem. He never ate flesh that they had to come onto a psak of a tamachochem on it. How exactly is that pigul? Problematic. That's one pshat. So these are the three demidas chasidus that Yechezkel HaNovi is pleading with the Rabbanu Shalom, give me a break, don't require of me to eat this disgusting food that you told me to eat, this awful tasting bagel, and it's dipped in Galilei Odom, that's terrible. So he says he was always careful not to be Maharab Binoshim. He never became a Balkari because of Hirhurim, and he never ate Behema Kuskus, never ate Mesukenes, and never ate Behema Shahar Bachoch, Amidas Chasidus. Mshum Rab Nosan Omru, the Gemara has later. It says this is Lekamon Mem Dalan on the base, in Perigela Trapez. The Gemara says there, what do you mean Behema Shahar Bachochim? He told me a Maisa that once. A friend of mine told me he was once at a chasana, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He used to come to the chasanas all the time. So someone asked Rav Moshe Ashayla, what's the din? So he said, it says beferish that is mutter. So he said, maybe I should not eat it because it's behema shahar b'chacham, because I asked the shayla. So Moshe said, because you're an amaretz, that's not called behema shahar b'chacham. It's a beferish din. That's a gemara later, mem dalit. The gemara has the whole story there. The Gemara says, that's not called Behem Shehar B'chacham. A black and white of the Behem Shedin. Behem Shehar B'chacham also. If he said, Mitzar Asvara, that is Mutta also. That's not Behem Shehar B'chacham. If it's a judgment call, if it's a judgment call, like you say, Glat Kosher. Say, Glat Kosher means that there was a Sircha and you peeled it off and then you blow it up and you see where the bubbles come out. If it's a judgment call, so then maybe the person made a mistake in judgment. Maybe he made a mistake in judgment. So that's called Behema Shehar B'chacham. But it's a Beferish Din. Everybody knows that Din, that is Mutter. That's not called Behema Shehar B'chacham. I remember when my father-in-law passed away. So my father-in-law was a Rebbe in Torah V'Das, so they had the Hespedim there in the Yeshiva. So one of the Rabbonim, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, who was for many years, he was the head of the Yeshiva, Miri Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So he spoke. So he told over a story. He said, a very interesting story. He said that once an elderly gentleman came to the building of the Miri Shiva in Brooklyn. He was learning there a couple of hours. And then he walked over to him, to Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, and told him the following maisa. He learned in Radin during the lifetime of the Chofetz Chaim. And he says, when the Chofetz Chaim's first wife passed away, then he remarried later. That wife came to America after the war, the second wife. But there was a period in between the time the first wife passed away and he married the second wife, so he didn't have a wife. So they had a nice Jewish girl, used to be in charge of the kitchen. She used to cook the food in the kitchen. She was a religious girl. And then he used to have bacher meat with him on Shabbos. So on Friday night, he made kiddush, and they started eating the food, the meal. And then the girl served the chicken soup. So the Chafetz Chaim, so all the boys were eating the chicken soup. So the Chafetz Chaim asked the boy next to him, could you please go into the kitchen and ask the girl whether the chicken soup is kosher. So the guy thought he was hearing things. What do you mean ask if it's kosher? She's a religious girl. We're trusting her on the kashas. So he may believe he didn't hear what the Chavetz Chaim says. Everybody was eating the chicken soup. So then the Chavetz Chaim didn't get angry. He asked him again, can you please go into the kitchen and ask the girl whether the chicken soup is kosher? So he thought he must be senile. He's not going to go ask the girl if the chicken soup is kosher. It's kosher. So he didn't go. Then the Chavetz Chaim asked him a third time. He waited a while. Then said, without getting angry, he said, please go into the kitchen, ask her if the chicken soup is kosher. So the Bacha had no choice. He went into the kitchen and he said, Chavetz Chaim asked me to ask you whether the chicken soup is kosher. So she gives out a scream, oi, I forgot to tell him, don't tell him not to eat the chicken soup. Because he told me whenever there's a shayla on the chicken, I have to show it to the dayan, and the dayan paskin that it's kosher, he doesn't want to eat the chicken soup, because behema shehar b'chacham. So tell him he shouldn't eat the chicken. It was kosher, but the Chavetz Chaim had given instructions, he doesn't want to eat it. Behema shehar b'chacham, yeah.
Rashi says, you know, suffix.
If there was a shayla, that's how the Gemara, and it was a judgment call. That's how the Gemara says in Mem Dalam Beis. It was a judgment call. If it's an open and shut case, that is mutter, that's not called Behema Shehar B'chacham. If it was a shayla, let's say when you bedik the sakin, so sometimes that's also a judgment call. So that's a shayla. If a person is careful not to eat from Behema Shehar B'chacham, so how can he ever rely on the bedikas ha-sakin? So the Achrayim talking about that. They say that usually. Usually the pegima is a very dakas dika pegima that you can hardly even feel. If it's a real pegima, so of course you're going to notice it. A dakas dika pegima, that's a judgment call. So those pegimas are only midirabbanan to begin with. So that's not a behemah shahar b'chacham. That's a judgment call, an issue that's only a chumim midrabbanan to begin with. But sometimes you have a judgment call on a real issue deraisa. So that's a musag, a concept of behemah shahar b'chacham. So that's the first. The Gemara has, Yecheskel Rami says three things. Give me a break. Don't ask me to eat this because it's terrible. And I'm always, I do midas chasidus. So the one pshat is, what he's saying, the veil of treifa lo yachalti psar pigul. I didn't eat psar pigul means I didn't eat behemah shahar b'chacham. And the Tana Reb Nosson has a different suggestion. Shalachalta behemah shalahum matan seh. The din is when you shecht a behemah schulin, when you shecht a behemah, you're supposed to give zra lachayim hakeva to the kohanim. We don't do it in America. We don't do it in Chutzlo. It's already many centuries. That's a shayla. Why not? So that's later. That's, I think that's the last parrot. Is that the last parak? No, last parak. Last parak is Shiloh HaKan. Here, it's the 10th parak. The 10th parak is parak HaZorah HaChayayim HaKevah. So in that parak, there's a machlek, it's Rashi and Taisus. So Rashi says the reason why we don't observe it in Chutzlots, because we follow the Tana, who's of the opinion that it doesn't apply in Chutzlots. And Taisus says that, Taisus disagrees with Rashi, and says, you see that in Bavel, all the Amorim did give Zorah HaChayayim HaKevah. So the minhag of many centuries was that everybody follows Rashi. They don't give Zohar L'chayim V'akev. Minhag that we don't give it. But in Eretz Yisrael, for sure you have to give Zohar L'chayim V'akev. Unless you have a shutfis with a goy in the slaughterhouse, or unless you have a shutfis with a kohen. Kohenim are also not mukhiv to give Zohar L'chayim V'akev. So what they do is they don't want to have shutfis with any Arabs, but they make a shutfis with a kohen. In Eretz Yisrael, then they pattern themselves from Zohar L'chayim V'akev. So the Gemara says, this Tana, Reb Nosson says, just like if you have fruits or vegetables that grew in Eretz Yisrael and you weren't yet mafresh trumas and maestres, there's an Issa Tevel, so too if you have a behemah, you didn't take out the Zohar L'chayim V'akevah, I treat it like Tevel, and you're not allowed to eat any in the flesh. Not allowed to eat any in the flesh. So that's how that was the Midas Chassid. Mikra Adin, there is no such din. That was the Midas Chassidus of Yecheskel. Shalachaltim bebehema shalohumer matesero. Others hold that it's Mikra Din. You're not allowed to. That's not a Midas Chassidus. And there, Reb Nosson says, no, that was the Midas Chassidus of Yecheskel Anon. This is a very strange. What was the Midas Chassidus? Here, Taisus writes. Others hold that it's Mikra Din. That's not a Midas Chassidus. But Reb Nosson says, no, that's right. Yecheskel Anavi says that's a Midas Chassidus. What is the Midas Chassidus? It doesn't make any sense. If you have Tevel, stuff that grew in Eretz Yisrael's Tevel, so you don't know where it is. You have to be Mafresh Truma, Maaseh Rishon, Maaseh Sheni, Maaseh Rani, third year, the sixth year. But all the everything is Mufresh V'yomid. The Zeroyal, the Chayayim, HaKeva, wherever it is, it is. It's not that you have to be Kairishem to be Kaveh what it is. We know what the Zro is, we know what the L'chaim, we know what the Keva. So why do you have to take it out? Eat the rest of the behemah, just leave over the Zro, L'chaim, the Keva, give it to the coin later. What's the Midas Chassidus over here?
Yes, it was a coin.
Yes, it therefore was. A coin is allowed to keep it, yeah. A coin is allowed to keep it. So they said, even though he was a coin, he's allowed to eat it, but you have to be mafresh it first. Just like, let's say a coin has a farm, so if he's mafresh truma gedola, he can eat the truma for himself. But if he wasn't mafresh truma gedola, then he's not allowed to eat anything because everything is tevel. Even a kohen is not allowed to eat tevel. So here, even though Yecheskel HaNavi was a kohen, says in Tanakh, in Aklarim, he was a kohen, Asher Banasos, but still, he's not allowed to eat tevel. So you treat the animal. Why in the world can it be? How can it be tevel? How can it be tevel? Everything is mufresh v'yomer. It's a pele dikatesis. That's what Tosfos says, Pashim Shatz. A lot of Achrayim disagree. A lot of Achrayim disagree. They say it must. And why is it compared to Pigul? What has it got to do with Pigul? So some of the Achrayim say, compared to Pigul means like this. If you shech the carbon with the wrong intention, you intend to eat the carbon next week, you're going to put it in the freezer, eat it next week, so that's called Pigul. So here what it means is, if the shoichet shechts a behemah, and he knows that the Bala Behema doesn't plan to give away the Zerah L'chayim V'akeva, then you're not allowed to eat anything. That's the Machsheves Pigul here. If he plans to give the Zerah L'chayim V'akeva, what, he has to pick it up and set it aside. You know, there is no need for any Hafrasha. But if he Shech the Behema, the Shech the Behema, knowing that the Bala Behema doesn't plan to give away, So then no one's allowed to eat anything, and the shechet shouldn't have shechted it in the first place. Such a shechita is not mata b'achila, just like if you do pigul on a carbon, the whole carbon is possible, because you had an improper machshava. So here also, this is an improper machshava. Okay, Belinetta, next week we'll have to pick up on the rest of this Gemara. This is a famous Daf Gemara. In the beginning of the Parsha, the Chumash has the story about Yosef HaTzadik. He would always snitch on the brothers. He would tell the father, Vayavi Yosef is the Bosom Royal Avihim. He would tell the father over all of the obelisks that the brothers did. So the Mefarshim asked, "This Tachmamish Ani Salosh Nara." Why is he telling the father? Vayavi Yosef is the Bosom Royal. So there's a famous sefer by one of the Rabbanim in Europe, Afike Yam. He was first his name was Rabinowitz, Yechiel Michal, I think Rabinowitz. Yam is in Rosh Hashanah, is his first name. He quotes Rab Chaim, he quotes Yor Sameach, it was around 100 years ago. So he has an essay on this. So he says, if you look, he already used the Chofetz Chaim Sefer on Hilchos Lashon Hara. So he says, when the Pasuk is Mashma, that Yosef was careful with all the Hilchos Lashon Hara. The Gemara says in the end of Psochim that if a person is doing Averis, and I want to tell his Rebbe, I want to tell his father, let's say a child is misbehaving in school. So the principal of the school calls up the parent to me. He tells the parent, your child acted up, or your child did something. So that's Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, it's not Lashon Hara. If you tell a parent in order that the parent should straighten out the child, or you tell a Rebbe in the yeshiva, it would tell the rabbis which students never show up in the minyan, and which students are lax about davening, so that the Rebbe should try to have Ashpo on the Talmud. So over here also, that's what he says. Yosef would tell the father that the father should give tochacha to the brothers. He was younger than them. He can't give them Musa. So he wanted to tell the father should straighten it up. So that's why it says, Vayove Yosef, Vayove Yosef, it should say, Vayesaper, Vayaged, Vayome Yosef, Vayove, he brought. So he says, because the Chofetz Chaim says, even when you have a heter to say Lashon Hara, you have to be careful not to be magzim. You have to just say exactly what the person said or the person did. Not allowed to exaggerate to say worse than he really did. So that's why it says, Vayove Yosef, he brought verbatim, he said over to the father exactly what they said, they were speaking improperly, so he wasn't magzim, and that was for the purpose of tochacha, the father should give them tochacha. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein has such an essay, when the Malach told Avraham Avinu that your wife is going to have a baby, and next year I'm going to come back, next Pesach I'll come back, you'll have a baby Yitzchak. So when the Rabbanu Shlom told Avraham Avinu in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, so it says that he left. When the Malach told Avraham Avinu and Sarah heard, she was laughing. So when Avraham Avinu left, he wasn't punished. When Sarah left, Rabbanu Shlom got upset. Why? Apparently it's a different kind of a laugh. Avraham Avinu believed that Rabbanu Shlom told him she's going to have a baby. He said, Amuna, she's going to have a baby. Sarah was laughing from disbelief. So the Rabbanu Shlom said, Rabbanu Shlom told Avraham Avinu, go give your wife tochacha. Why did he tell Lashon Hara to Avraham Avinu is going to ruin his shalom bayis? Why did Rabbanu Shlom tell Avraham Avinu that your wife is laughing from disbelief? Because that's where Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted. They have a sefer written by one of his grandchildren. They wrote up a kol rav. They wrote up a lot of drushes of Rav Moshe. So he said he thinks that because Avraham Avinu was not only the husband of Sarah, he was the one who taught her all about monotheism. He was her rebbe. So the Rabbanu Shlom told Avraham Avinu the Lashon Hara, that's l'toelos l'habo. There's an isa to say Lashon Hara, but if it's l'toelos l'habo, then they have a chiv to say. So this is a toelos l'habo. If you think that the Rebbe or the parent will be able to straighten out the child or the wife, that's l'toelos l'habo. A lot of times people think, let's say, when it comes to a shidduch, so they think someone asks me information, even if someone does not ask information, that's, I can't say Lashon Hara, I'm going to ruin the shidduch. No, but that's terrible. The girl shouldn't marry that boy. Either the boy is not for the girl, or the girl is not for the boy. It's not fair to let them get married. It'll be a disaster. So that's when you have a chiv to say Lashon Hara, whenever it's l'to elos l'abo. And someone is applying for a job, and he has sticky fingers. I know him. He's going to steal all the money from the cash register. He's gonna steal from the balabas. You have to tell the truth. Don't hire this person. People think, no, that's real Lashon Hara. That's not real Lashon Hara. That's when you mechuyev to tell Lashon Hara, to save the person from falling in. But when it's not relevant, la'abo, it's not to say that he's stupid, he's foolish, he's a ganavet. It's not nageir lemaisa. So then it's a nisa loshen hara. But here, in order to give tochacha, this is la'toelas la'abo. Okay, we hope that next week we'll have better traffic. We'll come on time and give a normal shiur.
Okay.
Next week, Hanukkah, yeah. It's like Hashem.
Companies will only say dates of employment and position. Otherwise, if the employee finds out, they get sued. A former employee, my son, sued my oldest son, Benji. He understood he didn't give a right reference. Here, it's a problem.